Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you, always.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said to R2-D2, hello there. This is Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. I am one of your hosts. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw, and my other host right here.
Sorry, that caught me so good. I was like, what's he going to say this week? Something perfect. I am your other host, the Internet Soapbox, Mark Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark.
Excellent. And we are here late at night. I have just a little bit of adult beverage because it's a nice, sexy evening here at Jedi Alliance. We're broadcasting super late in order to discuss the Force Awakens trailer, which came out today during Monday Night Football.
Yes, as well as the poster that was announced with the announcement of the trailer and the early ticket sales, how the internet has been reacting to that.
Yeah, yeah. And here to discuss all of that with us is a returning guest, one of our favorites, the comedian Mike Black.
Hi, everyone.
The comedian. Like, you were in Watchmen. That was awesome. You did great in that.
In what?
In Watchmen. You were great in that. As a comedian? That was awesome.
Very good.
I was going to say a comedian, but you're a really good comedian. So I think, as a fellow comedian, that you deserve the title.
I'm very proud of that.
The comedian. You're a very, very funny man.
I'm getting one of those smiley face buttons tomorrow. Some guns.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit about Star Wars.
Yes,
sounds good.
To the Watchmen.
While we're here,
yeah, why not? Why not? So I wanted to start just talking a little bit, and we're going to get into the trailer itself and the poster a bunch. But I want to talk a little bit about just the experience of getting the tickets today, because that was a weird and interesting experience that I've never had, to have the excitement and the anticipation of the trailer, and then the anxiety and the fear of the ticket launch going at the same time.
Yeah.
So exactly. Did you guys have a good experience, a bad experience? You guys got tickets?
I had a very good experience, but a very harrowing one at the same time. Because I didn't know what was happening today. And so I called. I wanted to see it at the El Capitan. And that was all I knew. And I was like.
Right. And for anybody who doesn't live in L.A. or doesn't know that theater, it's like Disney's flagship theater where they do special events. So it's special.
And they'll have like props from movies and stuff there. And it's like, if you're going to see a Disney movie, it's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And so I foolishly listened to one of my friends who just told me they go on sale at 8:30 in the morning. And so I set my alarm 8:30 and I call up El Capitan, and they were like, no, when the trailer happens, we can tell you more.
Yeah.
And so I just took that to mean when the trailer happens, they're going to go online. Mm-hmm. And so I went and did errands, and then I was coming back home to watch the game so that I could be ready to go at my computer and everything. And I knew I wasn't going to make it home. But then I saw the turn for La Brea, and I was like, I'm just going to go to the theater. And so I went to El Capitan, but I was like doing all the things you're not supposed to in your car. I was like refreshing the website and calling them at the same time. And none of that was working.
You had two phones, right?
Yeah, like none of – no, I –
Two
I'm
phones,
really
no
good
hands,
with one
Mike Black.
Hollywood celebrity over here.
And so I'm like nearly murdering everyone on the road. And then I finally get there and I'm thinking the line at El Capitan has to be like 50 million people.
Right.
It'll be just insane. There's like six.
Well, they cool. had a, they kind of had an event there today.
Yeah. There were like six people there. And they were like, yeah, if you want to do the marathon, fill out this form. If you want just a normal ticket, just wait with the other five guys.
Cool. So you went to a physical location and had a great experience while the rest of us hit our refresh buttons like one of those water ducks that just pokes and pokes and
pokes. Well, I kind of did both. I was like freaking out until I got there and saw what the situation was.
Yeah, just to be sure.
But what was great was not only did they sell the tickets and everything, they showed the trailer on their screen for free, anyone who happened by.
Yeah.
And so I got to sit in the seat that I'll be sitting in and see. I was like, oh, I have a pretty decent seat. That's nice.
That's so metal.
Yeah, that's a really cool, magical experience.
And they did that, and they had Disney Infinity contests before.
That's how I found out.
And they showed the making of trailer from Comic-Con.
Okay,
cool.
And so it was really fun. It was a cool event, like mini event for the event.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
You're set with your tickets.
Yeah.
So you had a bad experience online.
Well, yes. I think a lot of the world had a bad experience online.
Tell me
what happened, because we haven't had a chance to chat.
I didn't go through Fandango. I just went to the site of the theater that I wanted to see it at. Didn't pick the first screening, because that'd be silly. Mm-hmm. I was sitting with another engineer here, and she's just going solo. So it was like, oh, that was so easy. I was like, of course, you're only going by yourself.
Now, did you go at – see, now, the press releases all said, when the trailer airs – it will open up. Did you get any sort of pre-warning that it's actually that the ticket sales were actually opening up like an hour ahead of that?
My first warning was my fellow engineer saying, oh, hey, I just got my tickets. I was like, what? Excuse me?
Yeah.
So I went to the 720 showing. No tickets were bought yet. I got two seats, 3D, back row, center.
Nice.
So
I'm nice.
Probably the best seats that I've ever had in a 3D movie, except for Tron, where the theater was totally empty. But tickets are bought. For the first showing of the weekend, anyway, and I'm excited. No troubles on my
end. I had a very weird experience, but I think also an experience that most people had given social media of I got surprised by the early launch.
Yeah.
I was ready to be like set up at like 6 o'clock on the West Coast, ready to go. And I was walking home, and I suddenly started seeing on Twitter that people had tickets. So then I started loading, and it was already too late.
Right.
And it was
already too late.
It wasn't a matter of picking your showtime. You couldn't get onto a theater. And then I was in the position of, I can physically go to the theater to buy tickets, because I assumed that now no humans go to physical things, as you discovered too, Mike.
Yeah.
But then I didn't want to leave because I wanted to see the trailer, and my heroic wife went to the theater for me.
Oh,
and,
bless her heart.
And we got great tickets, but only because she went physically to the actual theater.
Yeah, that was the way to do it, and I couldn't recommend that more in the future in the other two episodes, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and it was
Rogue One.
Bring your computer stuff with you and try and actually go to the brick and mortar building.
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit more of a thing. And it was very funny watching it during the Monday Night Football. They showed the trailer, and I don't know, so you didn't get to see it. You probably watched it.
Yeah, we watched it. We a bunch of us crowded around the TV here and watched
it. I loved that. They played the trailer, and then the announcer said, well, mark your calendars, December 18th. Like, you realize everyone watching this is furiously hitting their computer, the refresh button. We're beyond marking our calendars,
sir.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's like, how dare you imply. But I just like how high of a rating they were trying to get for Monday Night Football, and how quick that just roller coaster just dropped right after. It's like, done, cool, no more football. What's football?
Yeah.
Star Wars.
I mean, and I know there's in the Venn diagram, there are a lot of football fans, huge Star Wars fans.
Yeah, sure.
So there's definitely some overlap. Do you guys think it was a smart move to release it during Monday Night Football?
Yeah. I mean, it was smart to do, but it's not going to make people who don't like football suddenly like it.
Oh, no. I'm thinking about it the other way of that. In order, we've been talking a lot on this show about if they're going to break box office records.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what they need to do is they need to get normal people who kind of casually like, hey, I like lightsabers.
This was for the general audience. You've got a lot of familiar elements in the trailer, which we'll talk about, that maybe people go, oh, Star Wars, huh?
Yeah.
Cool. I'll go see this one.
Yeah, it was I was panicking this morning when I was like, it used to be on stuff like this, only mega nerds knew exactly when and where the tickets were going to go on sale. Mm-hmm. But they pretty much just told the whole world exactly when they're going on sale. So I was like psyching myself up for disappointment. I was like, you might not get through today, so be ready for that, you know.
And instead you had a magical experience.
Indeed.
That's awesome.
And I had a sundae at the little malt shop next door to reward myself.
I'm picturing you the run.
Eating a sundae as the twin suns set.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. What should we get into?
Yes.
Let's do it. So the main crux of the show, or the main hux of the show, is going to be talking about the trailer. Zing. Yeah, it's a terrible joke, but I'll do it. General reactions? How did we feel once it started, once it ended?
It was really different than I expected, but I enjoyed it. I thought that it was going to maybe be a little bit more narrative focused, like let us tell us a specific element of plot. And I thought that there might be a Luke reveal. And I was actually thrilled that there wasn't either of those things.
Yeah.
That it had tons of stuff that we'll talk about for hardcore Star Wars people to pick through. But it was also just, I think, really good for normal people to be like, remember Han? Remember Leia? hey, there's going to be a lot of really cool space battles. There's going to be big explosions. People are going to have lightsabers.
Yeah.
And I think it really worked in sort of both for hardcore people and for more casual fans.
Yeah, it was like that shot of him and Chewie in prisoner pose.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we've been there before.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice seeing that again.
Yeah. Here we go again.
You kind of know they're going to get out of it, you know?
Yeah, but it was really edited well to have those like half seconds that don't really tell you anything but make you go, what? How? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this, we are finally seeing kind of like the beginning of Act 2. All of the stuff that we've already been seeing is, oh, cool, here's Act 1. And now, boom, we're seeing a little bit more like Poe getting tortured. Like that was... Like that was very, very, I mean, a good dark. But this was, somebody in chat said it. I didn't cry, but my inner child was freaking out, and it was just a nice feeling after watching this trailer of,
I think also the previous trailer had that wonderful "We're home," and it seemed almost be saying to hardcore fans, "Welcome back to this thing you know and love."
Right.
And this one is almost made to agitate you and make you worry about your characters and make you worry. And I mean, I think in that way it gelled really well with my ticket buying experience. Is everything going to be okay?
Absolutely.
Star Wars.
And like when Leia and Han are embracing, you're like, is this for the last time? Or is it, you
know, they're sad about something.
First time after a while?
Yeah.
And,
did Leia just stub her toe? Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to lie, I was real emotional when they finally showed the trailer. But they led up to it with the Comic-Con stuff. So that
behind the scenes.
That didn't help.
Yeah.
You know?
And
so,
you had full on moisture from your eyes.
Full on tears. And I thought, because they had like a news guy there covering, you know, all the nerds, basically.
Yeah.
Like, that we're going to put the nerds on parade. And
who wants to be on television?
I was like, he's going to pan over and see me blubbering. And then I looked around and I was like, oh, I'm not alone. Everybody is kind of.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to single you out to be the meme of Star Wars crying guy.
Exactly.
Good.
Not tonight, anyway.
Yeah. We got some confirmations. We got some more questions sort of poked at, but not answered. Mm-hmm. So do we want to just jump into the breakdown itself?
Let's roll through.
All right. So we're going to jump into the breakdown. So starting at the beginning of the trailer, we have Rey in her cool Jakku garb, searching through what I believe was the crashed Star Destroyer.
That's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which if you've read Lost Stars, that has even more weight.
Crying!
And more crying. We hear a voice that a lot of people are saying they believe is the character Maz Kanata?
Maz Kanata.
Maz Kanata, played
by
Lupita Nyong'o.
Disney.
Okay, that was confirmed by Disney, saying, who are you? And then Rey saying, I'm no one. We assume it's Rey. It certainly gels with the shots of her.
Pretty sure.
And she is walking around Jakku with BB-8 rolling around. And also, that was some pretty great BB-8 rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one of those shots where you look at it and go, that's all real. It's all real.
Yeah.
So
he's
cool.
He's taking the sand so well that in that shot, I mean, we certainly saw the other one of him rolling kind of flat to the camera. But rolling from behind, he almost seems like engineers designed a droid that would not be a pain in the ass like R2 has always been on sand.
Well, that could handle all off-road.
Yeah, and all off-road. Mm-hmm. Good old BB-8 off-road.
Yeah.
You're right.
Fully overly agree with that.
Feel free.
Totally
feel free.
Correct.
Agree away. Yeah, and as we're going through this, any thoughts that you guys have, please throw them out there.
Sir.
So we have Rey watching a ship come in. She's looking sort of thoughtful, maybe at some sort of market area. And then that cut to the Lucasfilm logo kind of right on the thought of I'm no one. It seems like that's sort of like the first beat, the first little act of the trailer that it's really trying to suggest that idea. They told us concretely this is the story of the Skywalkers. So a question of the trailer is it going to tell us which Skywalker? So we were starting with, who are you? I'm no one.
Yeah.
I'm like Luke was. I'm just a kid on a desert planet. You know, so I thought that was pretty powerful. And then we got a lot of footage in here of stuff we've seen before, but I think it was kind of richer and more powerful because it was in the context of the whole trailer. Mm-hmm. We see what I believe is General Hux in that whole big First Order gathering, that very frightening Nazi-esque gathering.
Yeah.
And then we get Finn taking off his Stormtrooper helmet and saying, I was raised to do one thing. In that moment, what did you guys think was the one thing he was raised to do? In that half second, you had to
kick
think about
ass
it.
And chew bubble gum.
I thought he was like a clone trooper, just like he had been part of that.
Clone or Storm?
Well, I guess Stormtrooper at that point.
So you took it as I have grown up or joined the First Order, this new version of the Empire.
Yeah.
He could be the type of Empire kid that we read about in Lost Stars. He could just be another part of that generation that's like, oh, well, this is all I've ever known.
Right, right. Yeah, so we heard in Lost Stars, we heard it from the perspective of the Empire that we know from the classic trilogy, but that psychology does seem to be there too. Of like, yeah, I thought this was going to be a good idea for the galaxy.
Yeah. And then he kind of saw what they were having him do and was like, I don't want to be part of this.
Yeah, all that torture. Yeah, so he flies away as Marcus.
And explodes!
That
was a perfect reenactment.
But yeah, it really does look like it is his tie. It looks like his tie saying, you know what?
Yeah.
Screw it. I'm out of here.
And I think that's cool to have the, you know, the chaotic good character like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's like has some redemption to find, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's a cool, it's a cool way to meet a character. But yeah, but that, I mean, we've already got, he's a new hero that we don't know much about. He's maybe leaving the First Order, the evil organization, and then we're going to get to some lightsaber business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a lot to take in about that one character. And I'm delighted to have confusion still at this point in the game. So he takes off the helmet. He flies away, possibly getting shot down, and says, you know, I was raised to do one thing, and continues by saying, but I've got nothing to fight for, which seems like it is like the story in Lost Stars as well, where it's not that I'm leaving the First Order to join the Resistance or the Rebels. Because I so believe in it, but I'm just not doing this thing.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean I'm doing the other thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And then he lands on Jakku, and I am going to make a prediction now that one of our memes, our Star Wars jokes for years to come, is going to be Finn heavy breathing, because we've already made some jokes about it. But that was, I believe, a new shot of him breathing heavy because he's got a lot on his mind. He's got a lot going on.
That'll work for many collectors in the future. Anytime something new gets posted, any new Black collection gets posted, it will be just heavy breathing.
Any new Black Series toys, you posted a picture of that and then got to Finn breathing heavy. I want that action figure.
Because he's a nerd, he's a collector.
Absolutely,
so,
absolutely.
Make it work.
And then we have, I think, one of the biggest parts of the trailer. So first we've had that introduction to Rey. Now we had that little introduction to Finn. Now we've got an introduction to Kylo Ren. On the Star Destroyer Bridge, we're hearing his voice, his kind of deep Vader-esque voice saying, nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started. Cut to Vader's helmet.
Yeah.
How did you guys feel about that? Because that is one of the biggest, I think, in the trailer, that is one of the biggest confirmations, like hardcore, firm confirmation of a rumor and suspicion that Kylo Ren is collecting.
It's the cult of Darth Vader.
Yes.
Right.
And I think...
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you reintroduce it in a way that's not like, "Hey, you guys, remember Darth Vader?" Merchandising. No, they're making it make sense, and especially by showing the what looked like the Knights of Ren later in the trailer.
Yeah,
it's all starting to come together a little bit more, and I don't think it's gratuitous to utilize Vader in that way, especially if the rumors that he is another Skywalker are true.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, if Kylo Ren was a Skywalker, there's a relationship to a relative, whether he knows that or not. I find it really fascinating that it is with Vader and not the Emperor, because that's been going on a lot in canon, like in new canon books, Lords of the Sith. Palpatine is going out of his way to not reveal to many people at all that he is a Sith Lord. Mm-hmm. So it's not like people are just like, oh, yeah, the evil guy in the robes who tells us what to do, he's a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of fascinated, like, does Kylo Ren worship Vader because he just doesn't even know about Darth Sidious, about Palpatine?
Which would mean he wouldn't know about his redemption and, you know, so much else.
Yeah, we'll get more to the amount that people just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would make a lot of sense that, you know, he just thinks, oh, they blew up the Death Star and my hero.
Yeah.
And it ruined everything that I believe in.
Yeah. So I thought it was really, really cool that we got that intro of Rey, that intro of Finn. And then it almost felt like we got the same kind of intro to Kylo Ren. Not like he's just the bad guy to motivate our good guys, but like he's the third important character of these big three. And I also like you're saying, that he is a fan of Vader in particular, because that strangely connects to us as normal humans. Like, we're fans of Darth Vader. I was walking around Target and I was surprised. It struck me anew the amount of like friendly, cuddly Vader products there are. Like, there's like Vader dolls. And you read the Vader Lords of the Sith book.
Yeah, the little deformed plushies. Yeah,
yeah. And I just read this Lord of the Sith book that I'm talking about, where it's all about how Vader draws his power from anger, and he'll just take anyone out. And like, oh, but bring him to bed and cuddle with you.
He's like a new Santa.
Yeah,
got a deep voice, comes around during a certain part of the year. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
An evil Santa. Yeah. So
well,
it makes
no
sense.
Greater example of the guy who can change.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that definitely appeals to women, but I think it appeals to guys too, in a way of like, oh, I could change all this around. This is only the second act in my story.
Right.
You know, and I think that's a big part of the attraction to Vader, you know.
And also, do you think, like it says here in the notes, that he's on a Star Destroyer bridge? Do you think that's the Star Destroyer? Do you think it's the new thing that we saw in the poster? Do you think it's the new Starkiller?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, whatever we saw in the poster, the like Starkiller base that some people are thinking it's called.
It has that same design overall, you know, the windows and stuff.
Yeah.
But they're red, and so it's like, it's
the eye of that.
It's something new. It's definitely, you know.
Yeah. It looked like, I was thinking in the trailer that it looked like Star Destroyer windows, but that would be great to bring connect those elements.
It definitely mimics the old Star Destroyer shots that you would see from behind of the big
Vader on the
space.
Bridge.
I think it'd be either one.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to being into collecting Darth Vader as Kylo Ren, this horribly evil guy is. And then if you're suddenly feeling too into Kylo Ren, you see him doing some sort of force torturing to Poe Dameron. What did you guys make of that? It seemed like he was doing a hand motion towards Poe Dameron's face, and it was unpleasant.
Yeah. I would imagine anyone with Jedi type power or Sith power would be very effective at that. Mm-hmm. You know,
crushing
when you have
brain.
Telekinesis.
Yeah,
you know, it's like the Force choke is one thing, but like you could really go to very
that could have been like the Force brain squeeeze that he's doing.
Yeah,
you could destroy the brain from the inside out.
Yeah,
yeah.
In theory, you could do a lot of horrible things. So yeah, I'm happy to see new Force horrible things.
Yeah.
Do you think this could be the thing that makes Finn defect? Could he be a stormtrooper, see this, and
see Poe being
out? And that's
maybe.
Why they have that moment that we see later in the trailer where they're like, hey, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love that if that was the story where he thought he was kind of part of a military organization that was helping bring kind of governmental organization. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, what? This is run by a bunch of cultists.
Yeah, BT-dubs torture.
Yeah. So and then we immediately cut to this forest blowing up that I have no idea about that, if that's something that Kylo Ren is making Poe Dameron see, if that is some sort of flashback to something that's happened on or to the moon of Endor.
Maybe flashing back to his parents like we're seeing in the comics.
Yeah.
Possible.
Really cool. Really cool. And then things start zipping around a little bit faster. Then we've got the Millennium Falcon fighting TIEs around the Star Destroyer, which we've seen that before, but this is from some different angles.
Did it seem like it was pretty damaged? Like the Millennium Falcon was like on fire in the back.
A little bit late. This first shot was a little bit more of that sort of heroic. We cut from the big explosion of the forest to. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, they're heroes, and the Millennium Falcon is zipping around. Is the way I took it. And then much later in the trailer, there's a very fast shot of the Falcon looking not great.
Yeah,
I think that's that could be with a new pilot at the helm, maybe not being able to handle the unique nature of the Falcon.
Yeah, you think it's not Nine Nun?
I mean, I know I heard that he's in the movie, and I'd be excited if that was him. But
maybe it's Admiral Akbar.
Who knows?
We've heard he's in the movie.
And he doesn't have a special seat, so it's hard for him to control.
He's used to yelling at other people.
I'm supposed to have a neck brace.
I can't fly without my mice. So we're seeing the Falcon zipping around the Star Destroyer, and then we cut to actually on the Star Destroyer with Rey saying, there are stories about what happened.
It's true. We're with it.
Was that your Harrison Ford impression?
He's very mumbly and quiet.
Oh, wow.
Just in general. I'm not talking about now, but it's just in general, it's nice to hear the guy who's all like space or the hokey space bridge and everything and be like, yo, dude, no, seriously?
Yeah.
All real. 100%.
I guess I was reacting to the
description. Oh, no, it was a terrible impression.
not the impression, but mumbly, because to me, when I think of mumbly, I think of like maybe not confident. And what I thought was amazing about it was like, it had weight and gravitas, which is how I wanted to see Han played. I didn't want to see him played with all of the bravado of youth because he's not young. So I wanted him to have that, like...
Yeah, I loved that he wasn't cavalier about this.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, the guy who talked about hokey religion, you know, it, being the one who says it, I think was very intentional, and it really drove it home that it's... Also, it says a lot about how since Jedi, it's all sort of become myth to the people around it, like war stories.
This single part was like the most exciting part of the trailer to me.
And, and more on the performance, you felt the weight that came with belief of such a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, and it's true, all of it. And at first I had that half second of like, he's saying it's true, all of it. He's got that great Han Solo attitude of, I'm telling you like it is.
Because I saw it.
In the previous movies, he said, I'm telling you like it is. Like, you know, never tell me the odds with bravado. And now it's like, no, pull up a chair, young one.
Yeah.
It's true, all of it. There's that great weight to it. And for a minute, I thought he was going to be like, yep, I helped blow up the Death Star. So I'm like a little bit more of like...
Oh, this thing again.
A little bit more from his perspective. But then what you're saying, Mike, the huge weight of him being the one who says... Yes, all Force stuff, true. The dark side, Jedi, all that stuff.
If it's just if the line's written just like that, I'm super in.
Force brain squeezes. All Force it's stuff. All true.
All Force stuff. Yes,
all the time.
True. Robot Asthma Man. All of it. True. Every bit. They put me in a thing and I froze and no good. Bad.
Oh man, I would. Stuff. If there is an outtake. Of Harrison Ford relating the entire story of the original trilogy slowly in like little truncated sentences.
I would want a story
sentences.
Off between him and 3PO.
Yeah.
Like when 3PO is telling it to the Ewoks, you know.
It's like the in-story version of like an audiobook.
Yeah.
So I think it also, like Kylo Ren being a collector of Vader, like we are a collector of Vader, it gives so much weight to a long time ago used to be like, hey, imagine that this kind of happened a long time ago because it gives it weight and makes it feel mythic. But now, when Han Solo is basically saying, I'm going to tell you about a story that happened a long time ago with the Dark Side and Jedi, we're like, yeah, it did! It happened like 30, 40 years ago and we were there!
Right, yeah. And
we watched it on VHS. It happened a long time ago.
I don't know if
three different versions.
If we talked about this, but I met like, I was talking to some kid who was like 20 and we were talking about Darth Vader and he said... He had never identified him as a villain. He always thought of him as a hero.
Of Vader.
Because he grew up on the prequels.
Right.
You know, and like for a big chunk of his life, he was a good guy and he did good stuff.
And,
you know?
he had a little bit of a dark time for a couple decades.
Yeah.
But
and I was like, forget the young one. He was still pretty evil. He did like a lot. And I'm like listing off all the evil stuff. And the kid was like, yeah, he was a good guy.
I like to imagine. Yeah, genocide, whatever.
Right.
Just forget that
part. I was
part.
Like, he killed, remember the little Jedis and he killed
the younglings? Yeah.
Whatever. He's still a good guy.
But have to your you point, seen like, Clone Wars?
Yeah.
The series.
He feels like a good guy almost in Jedi.
Right.
Because he feels like, in Return of the Jedi, he feels like a guy who's like tired, unsure, and like, you know, the Emperor's here. He can do all the evil stuff.
Right.
I'm going to show up and be.
Yeah, and
presence.
Then, of course, at the end, he really, like, drives it home.
The actual
overall,
redemption.
I'm pretty good.
Prophecy is fulfilled.
And, but, yeah, so I think it's interesting how the movie addresses that in that some people are coming into the story with different perspectives from different times.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that, like, someone like Kylo Ren is kind of that younger generation that's like, no, Darth Vader's rad all the time. And, like, and we're kind of like the, no, he's not always rad.
Yeah. And the, like, I mentioned this a little bit last week. The books are going through a lot of, all the new canon books are spending a lot of time talking about the goal of the Empire was ostensibly to bring order.
Right.
To make it a galaxy that runs well. Yeah. So I like that we're going into this with this with somebody who can have that idea of like, well, yes, I'm into the dark side and it gives me power, but I also happen to believe this is the way the government should actually function.
Yeah, they weren't looking to be dicks. They weren't looking to like go around the galaxy
it's
and
not
be
look.
It's not
awful.
The dick side of the force.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they were like we're going to bring everyone together and police everything.
Yeah.
What could go wrong with that? Well, a lot.
A lot of the,
you know,
constant murder.
Of the Empire.
Right.
Yeah. The constant murder is no good. And then
surveilling everyone and what, you know.
taking all of the valuable things of a planet and leaving it for destroyed. So anyway, while Han, we'll get back to the trailer itself.
Imperial politics aside,
So while Han is confirming the dark side, the Jedi, we've got starting to get the fast scenes that we haven't had as much of. We have the Falcon going through hyperspace, which looks really, really cool.
I really like the new look of hyperspace.
Yeah, it was at a different angle. We've almost always seen it as the sort of straight-on shot, and this was like almost the three-quarter perspective of hyperspace. We got a bunch of Knights of Ren standing around, but only Kylo has a lightsaber, so at least that we saw.
Guys, I get the lightsaber today. It's my turn for the lightsaber.
That reminded me of this is a terrible story, but there was a real dude in England who stormed a church with a samurai sword, and like he was naked, but he had convinced two other dudes to come with him, and those guys were a little more modest, so they wore bathrobes. And they got lead pipes because he didn't have swords for them. And an off-duty cop in the church took an organ pipe and subdued all three of them single-handedly.
So is this a prediction for what's going to happen in Knights of Ren?
Yes.
They're going to run.
I think that's exactly
they're going to run naked into a church. Go. And a Jedi with a pipe is going to take him down.
One dude's going to just turn around and be like, hey! You knock it off! Bring a pipe and just take them all down.
Well, and it wouldn't have happened if they're going to be like, well, if we'd each gotten lightsabers, we would have been okay. But
told you shit about the extra lightsaber.
I am interested in learning more about the behind the scenes of that story. Right. And also the behind the scenes of if they have lightsabers, if Kylo Ren's hogging it like a jerk. Then we got a bunch of X-Wings and TIE Fighters battling around a sort of lake area, which is great. We're seeing a lot of different environments in this trailer. You know, we're seeing Jakku, the desert planet. We're seeing some sort of forest planet. We're certainly seeing an ice planet. We're seeing wherever this lake is. We don't know.
Still, I mean, I like the suggestion of Yavin 4 still.
Oh, yeah.
The foresty planet. And I would love that.
Yeah, that'd be really, really cool. And then we got the shot that was also in the little 5-second teasers that came out yesterday, Sunday, of Poe greeting Finn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was a nice shot. It had some camaraderie and some tension in it at the same time.
And it felt very familiar, you know.
Yeah.
It had that old, like, X-Wing hangar
Vibe
to it.
And there's something about Poe that's very, very confident in, like, all of his shots. But in that one in particular, he has a little bit of Han's vibe from the classic trilogy of, like, I've been there, I've done that, I've got this.
Yeah, that's the vibe. You look, these two guys look at each other, and it already looks like they've been through something.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me think that Finn was there and helped Poe escape.
Yeah, I think that's a good theory.
There was definitely a like game-recognized-game sort of moment.
But Finn is uncomfortable with it, so it feels to me almost like Poe's like, you got this, and then Finn's like, oh, got this.
Is that what you were reading from it? Because I was reading from like, to me it looked like he was like, I'm not sure I trust that guy yet.
And I think it could be that too, but I think there's
some... He thinks we're better friends than I think we are.
Yeah, there's some kind of emotional ambivalence.
Yeah. I haven't followed him on Twitter yet. What the hell?
He's liked a lot of my pictures.
He's liked every single one of my pictures on Instagram and commented.
And then the sort of the rapid fire keeps coming of all the little shots. We get another angle of Rey and Finn in a big explosion on Jakku, which we've kind of seen that, and we can kind of assume that's probably in the first third that they're escaping the First Order there. We see Han, Rey, and Finn entering some sort of temple building. There's a big red droid outside.
That's Maz Kanata's place.
Okay.
That's what it looks like. She when they showed the big picture of her crew, robot looks like it. That robot would roll with that crew. Also, fun note that the outside of that temple matches the building that was in the reveal shot of Captain Phasma.
Oh, interesting.
Same marking on top of the door.
Okay, so. Interesting. Yeah, and this is where you're getting into that. With these little shots, you start connecting. Oh, this less than a second shot with this still from Vanity Fair 6 months ago, and you start putting together like more than you want to. So for me, I try to do a little bit of like Jedi mind trick myself and say, "You didn't see that."
I'm just like, oh, that means she's going to show up at some point, maybe. Or they're like, "Hey, we got the suit, bring it on."
But they didn't really show her that much in the trailer, did they?
Phasma or a lot of Poe.
Shot of Phasma, but very, very, very quick.
Captain Phasma.
And I saw somebody already on Twitter. People were heroically screen capping this immediately and finding things and hanging in all those flags above that building. There's one that has a Mandalorian symbol on it.
Oh, nice.
So it's cool to see, like, how many... I think a lot of these things are just going to be, like,
here's the thing that to fill out the galaxy because it's getting so big and there's so every corner can be filled with something that maybe means something or is just sort of like in the real world, every time we walk by something like that t-shirt said Coke, what does it mean? Like nothing. You know, and at this point it might mean nothing that a Mandalorian flag is hanging outside somewhere. Just like it's a symbol.
Somebody dropped a flag of Mandalore.
Or it could be like the Rebel flag. It could mean a whole lot.
Exactly. It's like, oh, my Rebel shirt I'm wearing, yes.
It's like they got a lot of...
Or they look up, see that flag, and go, we ain't going in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Just by the Mandalorians, jeez.
And we've got all of this in between Han saying the dark side of the Jedi and finally saying they're real. And then we get the shot of what I think most of us are assuming is Luke. We could be wrong. It's a shot we've seen before of the mechanical hand on R2-D2 on what looks like a volcanic planet.
Yeah.
Possibly. Maybe there's just something fiery going on nearby, but it looks very Mustafar-y to me. Mm-hmm. I think it would be really cool if Mustafar was involved in some way.
Oh, yeah. If he went to, like...
pick up the rest of his
essentially
dad.
Ground zero for where his father lost it.
Yeah, where...
that would be really
where there was no turning around.
Yeah, maybe he's going through something similar at this point. Maybe
that could be,
he's going through some sort of turmoil that may affect his connection with the Force.
Yeah, maybe he's not sure he made the right decision, you know.
There's so many decisions to be made. And I think that's another huge part of Han saying, you know, this is all real and telling us that the galaxy has not recorded the events of the classic trilogy in the way we have as viewers.
Right.
That they probably understand some things, but certainly not the back and forth of the Jedi and the Sith.
And with how little, you know, well, with the fact that they haven't shown Luke at all, you wonder how connected did those core characters stay after it ended? Mm-hmm. You know, did they all move on with their lives separately? Did some of them stay together? You know?
Yeah. And I think, like, obviously, we'll get into a little bit of the where's Luke outcry that has been coming up. But I think it's a huge breaking with what had been the expanded universe, and it's now Legends, that Luke didn't take Yoda and Obi-Wan's advice and pass on what he had learned. And at least that's a possibility. It seems really strongly that he just said, no, the Jedi and the Sith have caused too much trouble.
Yeah,
I'm just going to go my own way. And that's certainly not confirmed at all, but opens up that possibility.
Too, that essentially once his father fulfilled the prophecy and brought balance to the Force, he probably didn't want to wreck it.
Yeah, well, I think if there was a world where he found all the holocrons and he figured out really truly what has happened in the way that we as viewers know what has happened, and he's one of the few people who has that big picture of the galaxy has been through two wars basically because the Jedi and the Sith are fighting for control.
Right.
Maybe I don't need to be out there.
Yeah. Maybe if I'm the last one, I keep it that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, who knows? But I think that's one of the most exciting things since this trailer and the one before did put a lot of focus on the Force in the Saga of the Skywalkers, and the fact that we don't know anything really about Luke is just one of the most exciting parts of it to me.
I agree.
Yeah.
Would you guys want it to be Mustafar?
I do. I think that would be the most interesting location to find him.
Agreed.
Cool. So then we're back to a lot of really fast shots. We see a weird shuttle landing that looks a little bit like an old Imperial shuttle. That's when we get a nice shot of Captain Phasma. We get Kylo swiping away with his lightsaber at something. We get a shot of Rey crying, which again gets back to our sort of anxiety. Things aren't going well for our heroes. Han, Chewie, Finn, hands up. Really intriguing, but also things aren't going well for our gang. But they do start to put him down for a second. Who knows? And then we get another voice, which Mark told me right before we broadcast that's been confirmed.
Confirmed by Disney that it was the voice of Leia.
Voice of Leia, which is really, really cool because I had didn't hear Carrie Fisher in it myself. Yeah. I'm going to go back, obviously, and rewatch it 800 times.
Very similar to it, it's read in a way akin to how Han said his lines, where there's a different gravity to it.
Yeah, And the voice of Leia, so awesome, says, the Force, it's calling to you. Now, up to this point, we've had Rey, who a lot of people suspect is being a Skywalker offspring. Mm-hmm. We have Finn, who we've seen with a lightsaber. Yeah. We have Kylo Ren, who we know is a Force wielder. But then right after the Force, it's calling to you, we cut to a shot of Poe Dameron. Mm-hmm. And that almost seems like just really good marketing, just like, we're going to make you keep asking questions.
Right.
It's a red herring.
Yeah. It feels like a red herring that, you know, we've set up these three who look like they might have something to do with the Force, and then this other guy who looks like he's the brash Han Solo type, but then cutting right to him.
Yeah.
It was a fun bit of diversion, if nothing else. We see a bunch more TIEs and X-Wings fighting now on an ice planet, maybe the same as the lake planet. Nice shot of BB-8 in the cockpit. Obviously, we've seen that in toys, but yeah. I think that's the first footage we saw of BB-8 hanging out, doing his astromech duties. Got some stormtroopers running around. We saw Rey shooting a blaster, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Especially the way it was shot, because for just a second, the camera was tracking her arm, and for just a second, I was like, is it going to be a lightsaber? And like, no, it's a blaster. Okay. I'll keep waiting.
I think the internet would have been done. Would have been like, you know what? I don't even want to see the end. That's good enough for me. I'm taking it. I've had it.
Yeah. And then the next little shot is one I rewound on a bunch because it looks so cool. The swooping X-Wings, and an X-Wing actually shoots a stormtrooper.
I'm pretty sure that's where we're going to hear the Wilhelm scream.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. I'm glad they didn't use it in the trailer because it would have taken me out of the moment. The Force, it's calling to you. That would have been bad. But that was awesome. Seeing the X-Wing actually shoot a stormtrooper made me think, like, this trailer is really showing us, like, big, bold action.
Yeah.
That, like, it's ramping up, like, the original trilogy was big, bold action for its time. And then in the prequel trilogy, we got a super faster, more intense lightsaber fight style. And this seems like it's, you know, ratcheting it up even more.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think they did a very good job in this one of showing, yes, we've gone back to practical effects, and yes, we're using a lot of older techniques, but we're doing it in such a way that it's going to be very compelling even to younger viewers and
it's gotta
even, you know, to a faster pace.
And to me, a lot of the explosions, all the space stuff looks like, well, that's great CGI, and I'm glad you did it that way, because I don't think every one of those is practical. I don't think they flew a practical X-Wing and shot a guy in a stormtrooper costume.
Right.
Disney has deep pockets.
They do.
But yeah,
I want to see that behind the scenes.
That shot looked realistic, you know, and it looked incredible.
It's great CGI.
And it's like, so whatever they're doing it well, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that was great. You see another Kylo Ren Force move that we've seen before. And that's when we see this very, very fast shot of the Falcon. Mm-hmm. And maybe it looks like it's blowing up a TIE fighter. So maybe it's just flying through the debris.
Taking flak.
TIE fighter, or it's maybe burning a little.
What would make you emotional, I'll say, more, the loss of the Falcon or the loss of Mr. Han Solo?
Mr. Han Solo.
I almost feel like they go part and parcel.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you lose one, you lose both.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem right that one would survive.
One would have to
other.
Live on.
Yeah.
You know, like it really is the captain would go down with his ship. In that particular case, I can't imagine.
Yeah, you know,
the Falcon
really
being around without him.
Yeah, Han goes, I would love to see him go with Millennium Falcon because I think that does the captain going down with the ship.
Yeah.
Kind of story works in doing something cool. And we'll see. There's lots of my voice gets really high pitched when I get emotional. We'll see. I think there is going to be some death.
Someone's going to die that I don't want to.
Yes.
I can almost guarantee that. If they go with Luke, that I would be okay with because they can bring back Force Luke and have him, you know, do like Obi-Wan did.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so that one wouldn't hurt me as much. But like if the other two go, it's a lot shakier.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I'm really surprised that they either we're misinterpreting that and it is just the Falcon heroically blowing through some TIE fighters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm kind of surprised that that's in there because if it is the Falcon really burning, that is getting like, that's probably a third act thing.
That's a third act thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's a smart thing to put in the trailer of because you don't know. And it didn't look hopeless.
No.
You know,
no, it just looked like it was pretty big trouble. Yeah.
They might be able to put that out. You know,
douche before. Yeah. Right. Place.
Yeah, we see another huge explosion next. It looks like on the Star Destroyer bridge or the Starkiller base, whatever that is. And then I wrote in all caps in my recapping here. Han and Leia hogging!
I ship it so hard!
how did you... Is that what got the tears out, Mike Black?
I was already well into it.
Okay, you're into the third act of your tears.
Yeah, I was just being there. It was such a long day and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
But, when I thought this might be the last time they hug or whatever, you know.
So you interpreted it as that. To me, my gut.
There was just so much intensity to it.
There's a lot of emotion to it. And my gut emotional reaction was, all of our guesses that they're maybe not together may be wrong.
Because it looks like it. It's either I can't believe I almost lost you.
Yeah.
I can't believe I might lose you.
Or I can't believe you're here.
Yeah, I can't believe you're here.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of those three.
Or maybe Luke is in terrible trouble. Something really bad has happened to Luke.
And she has a premonition or something.
Or we fear that Luke has turned to the dark side or something. But yes, it seems something like really like deep and old. Not like, one of BB-8's arms fell off or whatever, you know?
You know what you said just now that sparked something interesting is you said about Luke turning to the dark side. And I never really had put this together before. But you know how they do those live script readings of different movies here in town?
Yeah.
And they did The Empire Strikes Back. You know who did The Emperor?
Mark Hamill. Nice.
So love to hear that's a possibility. Now that I'm thinking, I was like, that would be a really compelling if he basically became the new Palpatine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to go that far. I think, there have been lots of guesses and suppositions. I can certainly see it where Luke says, like, well, true balance is finding some way to be in the middle, so I got to play around with this.
Right.
But, who knows? But Han, Leia, hugging, that was great. And then we get to the big finale. Finn ignites what looks to be Anakin / Luke's lightsaber. Mm-hmm. Kylo Ren comes at him.
He looks concerned.
Someone screen capped. It's true. It's hard to see. So Kylo Ren comes at him, Finn, gets his blade ready, and then his eyes dart over to Kylo Ren's blade,
right at the end of it.
Almost like the way we reacted to the tri-saber when we first saw it, a lightsaber. I go, wait a minute.
What the hell is that?
Is that cool or scary?
I was ready to cut off hands, and now I can't.
Yeah. But he certainly does look concerned, and I feel like a lot of the internet, at least the people I follow, reacted with, Finn is in so much trouble.
Yeah.
And I think that's a testament to how...
It seems very clear that he is way outgunned and has not been trained for long anyway.
And that's the way most people feel, but why do we feel that way? I think we've seen Kylo Ren Kylo Ren looks forceful and dangerous. Right. And then I think we're guessing that Finn can't be fully trained, but I want to talk about that. What do you guys think about that?
Because Luke's gone.
Because Luke's not around.
That's becoming more clear, no, you know what? I should be the last one. But then once he hears, Luke, by the way, some girl found Dad's lightsaber, so I gave it to this other guy. You should probably teach him. I wanted to be the last one.
Yeah.
It felt right. So I think he might come back in he might as well know the right way to do it, sort of a thing. And this could be him just like, well, hey, I've got a laser sword. You're not going to – oh, crap, he has one too. All right.
Yeah, could have been a really bad poker hand he played.
Exactly.
He's bluffing with a lightsaber.
Exactly. Yeah, it could be something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like I feel like him getting any training at all is a reaction to Kylo Ren existing. Mm-hmm. And Kylo Ren – just off of what we've seen, I feel like he's been training probably his whole life.
I can get the pikes from the Imperial Guards.
Yeah.
Something similar that to use.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. I think there's also the slim possibility. I don't think they're going to go this way, but there is a slim possibility that Leia did want to learn more about the Force or has learned more about the Force herself.
Yeah.
She's certainly shown to be Force sensitive, being able to sense Luke when he's hanging off of Bespin. So maybe she does know more about the Force, and maybe Luke's not around, but maybe even Leia's taking it on herself to.
Well, and she might be kind of doing what Yoda did, which is the put on of the the bumbly sort of character.
Oh that, yeah, that, like,
at the beginning.
Don't mind me.
Yeah,
but yeah. That's really cool.
I like that.
And then we have Leia following up of her dialogue: "The Force, it's calling to you. Just let it in." And I think that's an amazing journey because. In that one trailer, because I think we start with,
and that's a very Yoda-esque line in a way too.
Just let it in, yeah. So, but we start with the arc of we're wondering who the Skywalker is. If it's more than one, if it's just one, we're introduced to who are you, Rey? I'm no one, which is sort of like I'm just like Luke. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, just let it in. We don't know who she's talking to at all because we've been introduced to all of these other figures.
Yeah.
in all of their potential.
And think of that in the context of, like, the Force is strong with you. Like, not just not even that. It's peeling that back even more just to be like, you can just see. See what the Force see what the Force can do for you today.
Well, that's that I after the second time that I watched it, I thought a lot about that, about the title of, you know, The Force Awakens, and there has been an awakening. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Star Wars, I think it's easy to kind of get hand-wavy about it because it's the Force, but mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of talk about the Force wants things.
Yeah.
It's destiny. So to me, there's this cool idea of, like, Luke is the last really great Force user. And he's like, and I'm not really going to use it. And, like, the Force is lonely. Like, I'm kind of saying that in a jokey way, but at the same time, that would be cool if that was the idea of, like, the Force needs to be used.
The Force needs somebody to will it. And right now, there's only a dude who started a cult of the most powerful guy. So he's here to use only the dark side. There has to be balance.
And when you think about how the Force works... If it doesn't, it's kind of like the frogs changing sex sort of thing, where it's like, if it needs something to happen, it will make it happen.
Yeah.
Like, right. I'll make a real powerful Jedi that doesn't even have a father.
Yeah.
Like, if I need one for this to happen.
And it's going to be up to the galaxy, you know, whether he's a Jedi or a Sith.
I'm going
to
write that one down.
Make a virgin birth.
Whoever finds him.
So that was really cool to me, to make it feel like, well, this isn't just sort of a generic title. There's clearly going to be something at work here where, you know, there's something going on with the Force itself almost as a character, which is really, really cool, like, to break new ground instead of just doing sort of like, it's great that we're seeing X-Wings and TIE Fighters, but I don't want the new trilogy to just be fan service.
No, the X-Wings.
So I want there to be new things.
The only thing that the X-Wings and TIE Fighters are doing are making me go, dude, when does Battlefront come out? That's really the only thing that it's doing for me. And then once that does come out, I'm like, cool, I can play the Battle of Jakku and watch this trailer again. And we have, like, it feels like we have so much time, but we really don't. We're under 2 months from a new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's coming up fast.
Hell of a reminder.
Yeah, and I think overall is really effective for hardcore fans and for casual fans. I want to talk a little bit about the poster that came out.
Let's do it.
And the poster kind of syncs up the same question with the trailer. How are you guys feeling about not seeing Luke in anything?
Didn't notice.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
No.
You didn't notice that Luke wasn't in the poster?
Look at how much is happening in there.
Yes.
Makes me wonder about what's there and not what's not. We've seen Luke. We've seen Luke in the trailer with the hand, and that's enough to make me go, oh, cool, that's where he is. But to see I didn't even flip and notice the damn stars, the space station. I was looking at all of the centralized stuff, how close together Rey and Kylo Ren are, almost as if they're one and the same. Like, they're posed in such a way that makes them look like they're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
I was more noticing what was there and what
wasn't. Well, maybe it's a generational thing, because I think for me, this sort of march to what's being revealed, it's always made sense to me that they've held Luke back. So I was really expecting this weekend is where we're going to see Luke. We're going to see him in the poster. Right. We're going to see him in the trailer, because he's the big thing that they're holding out on that we haven't seen. Yeah. In any sort of clear way. Like, we assume that mechanical hand is Luke.
True assessment.
But I'm enjoying that they're holding it back, because it just makes the anticipation, and I feel like that they have enough to make it work. I don't think I don't think it necessarily means anything about how much he's in the film. Mm-hmm. I think it could. But I kind of feel like if he's only in this film a little bit, he'll be a bigger focus of the next film. What did you think about him not being in the poster or the trailer?
Not being in the poster, I'm okay with it as long as another poster comes out with all of them in it. You know, like, I really want, like, that full, like, every character that matters.
A true Struzan?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
this is in Struzan, like, style, but it's not Struzan.
This is a nice placeholder, and it's a really, really great poster, and they did some really cool stuff with weapons and, like, the lightsabers. You know, it almost looks like that, I guess it's a TIE fighter blast, is another lightsaber, you know.
Yeah,
and, I mean, crossing fins, yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said about the parallels between some of the characters, and just seeing, like, Han with his classic blaster towards the center of it. And, you know, 3PO and R2, who've been through all of it.
Yeah,
you
we know, get some great Leia hair in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is, like, the first, one of the first great sort of 21st century media posters because it does feel like this is more than enough for a film. But it's still super marketing savvy because it's still holding a lot back. And they released it right away, portrait and landscape.
Yes.
So it works everywhere. And lots of places do that. But, I mean, to have something just sort of compositionally complex as this is, to design it in such a way that it works portrait and landscape is pretty amazing.
There's so many layers on this Photoshop file. I can't even believe it. But they haven't even said – they haven't said a thing about – about the space station.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit.
Bloody word. Yeah.
So a lot of us have heard Starkiller base floating around. That's the only spoilery thing I saw on the back of action figures because it says that some of them are their suits from Starkiller base. A lot of people saw it right away and were like, "Oh, Death Star." Or yay, Death Star. But I think I heard more, "Oh, Death Star" in the subtext of social media.
We also don't know the scope. It
could be super small.
Space, it could be a much smaller moon.
I thought there was a very off chance that it was just a droid. Just like a droid that's significant later.
IG-89. Yeah, to me, I thought for a minute, like, maybe it's a probe. But, like, that would be really jerky for them to be like, one of the main characters of the entire saga. No, but we'll make this probe real big.
Do you think it could be a Dyson sphere?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure, absolutely. I think you nailed it in one.
Boom.
If it is indeed a third Death Star, even if it is called Starkiller Base, but it is basically, for all intents and purposes, a Death Star, a big planet-killing weapon, how do you guys feel about that?
I mean, it follows along what Kylo Ren said in the trailer. Nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started. So the fact that they framed his story, at least in the trailer, with that, makes me go, oh, yeah, he saw this as an injustice, just like the second Death Star was.
Right.
And while us as fans are going, ugh, there's a third Death Star in Star Tours, and I don't care about that one either. So this one is they're making it work.
Yeah.
No matter what we say, they're going to make it work, and it's not going to be called a Death Star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mike Black?
Starkiller Base is a much catchier name, and
the PR firm was up all night for that.
You know. I'm okay with it. It's the same MacGuffin again and again, but it's in a way it's kind of tradition at this point that there be a big spherical thing to blow up.
I kind of think that go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Just one other thing is that I'm fine with it as long as it's more dangerous. And I mean, like, to get into it and to infiltrate it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
What if it's more mobile, too?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's never really got a chance to move around much. It does a little bit in A New Hope. But I think that J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy are more than savvy enough to all of the fans' thoughts that there will be some big blow-us-away surprise or twist on the Death Star as we have known it.
Yeah. This could still be the end of Act 2.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And there's an even bigger threat that's a lot more personal by the end of the movie.
Yeah, which would be awesome. So, I think a lot of exciting things to think about. I cannot wait for the Force to awaken and tell us what it wants. And I will listen.
Tell me now. So we do have a little bit of time left. We wanted to go into our new segment, The Mind Probe. This is where you ask us questions on our Facebook page on Jedi Alliance, which if you don't like us on Facebook, you got to do that. You got to go on Facebook. You got to go look up Jedi Alliance.
Why don't you like us?
You're like, it's the Force. That's the Force.
Why don't you like me, light side? Just like me.
Don't fall to the dick side of the Force.
And don't. Well, you couldn't have said it better. That way you can leave us questions to give us a little bit of time. We're going to discuss them. Our first question comes from David Brindle. Do you think the name Return of the Jedi refers to Luke becoming a Jedi or Vader going back to being a Jedi from the Sith?
I think it's Vader because it's really it's his arc from beginning to end, you know, and Luke's not returning to.
But he's the return of the Jedi Order.
Yeah, there had been the Jedi were gone pretty much.
But Yoda was
around. They return.
And, you know,
that was a secret.
Yoda was around. Obi-Wan was
around.
Yoda
was hiding, making soup.
They were, it was a very weak Jedi Order, but it was an existing one.
I take your point. This was a great question from David Brindle.
Really good question, yeah.
Because I think it makes perfect sense as Vader. I'd never thought about it that way. I had always just so triumphantly thought of it as Luke.
Yeah.
I think that Lucas intended it as Luke, since it was originally called Revenge of the Jedi.
And I was going to use that to the opposite point of Vader, because since Vader has toyed with the dark side, he's more susceptible to revenge than Luke is. But with Luke wearing the all black, that could give you the idea, oh, maybe he is in it for revenge, and then he reveals the light side on the inside. But I think revenge is more akin to Vader.
Interesting. Well, I'll go down the middle and say it is referencing both of them. For that brief moment.
You heard it here. No opinion.
No. It is referencing both of them in that brief moment where Vader is still alive. It's taken off the faceplate. They're connecting. They basically have like a We're Both Jedi little fist bump.
Right. And they, you with my own
two
eyes.
Jedi.
Daps.
Yes. All right. So our next question is from Hiram Jonas, who said, who would win in a fight? A Wampa, a Rancor, or 30 Tauntauns? So this is a three-head match. Mike Black?
This is the weirdest three-way ever.
This is the stupidest question
three-way
ever.
Dance.
But it's beautifully stupid.
Well, we'll put him in a cage.
It's a Rancor. It's a Rancor.
Okay.
Wins.
It's a
and
Rancor.
And here's how he wins. He rips everyone else's arms off just for fun and then just starts gobbling them up.
Yeah.
If 30 Tauntaun were in there, that's like two orders of hot wings. That doesn't even
pick them up.
Count
pop the head.
Problem.
Pop the head.
What
pop
was the
head.
Other thing that
a Wampa?
Wampa, come on.
Wampa might claw him in the leg a little bit, but that just makes me go, hey, pick him up, and then just.
I think if the Wampa and the Tauntauns work together, they'd have
well, there's a
chance.
Problem. They got to work together.
But I don't think they're going to work together.
I don't foresee that happening.
There's not going to be a tag out because their limbs are already gone, right?
Yeah, right. And like. Wampas don't like Tauntauns, clearly. They've proven that. So.
I'll say that maybe 30 Tauntauns. We haven't seen their level of violence. They do have those little horns. Maybe they got some great headbutting action.
Yeah.
And maybe the Rancor has sensitive knees.
I don't know. I figure just pure size.
If the fight starts off with the Rancor asleep.
Yeah.
And one of the Tauntauns runs into his mouth and chokes him to death.
But he'd have to be bending over. I'm just saying.
We're going through an Odysseus thing?
I'm just saying, take the tallest, strongest person you've ever met and then have 30 people at about knee height headbutt that person in the knees. They might go down.
Take him down
to
a knee. I could start. Why wasn't this a duel
of
the face?
If Andre the Giant and a bunch of dwarves got into
that happened.
Little people.
Yeah. WWE.
Little people. Okay. Did that happen?
Yeah.
Andre won.
Of course he did.
Yes.
Yeah. It was funny for a little bit, but...
Andre is the Rancor.
Andre's the Rancor.
The Rancor won, but the Rancor. I'll stay in there for 30 Tauntauns.
The Rancor
myself.
Has a posse. Yeah.
We'll go to the next question.
Chris Lilly asks, why do the Jedi continue to practice lightsaber swordplay when they haven't fought any Sith in a millennium, presuming that any real opponents wielding a lightsaber would be Sith? Now, if you were following Joseph and I during our watch-along of Episode 1, which you can look at on this very network, when Darth Maul shows up, on Tatooine, and Qui-Gon pulls out his lightsaber, he's like, holy crap, and then he kind of defaults into which fighting style would be good for this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It seems just more of a preparatory thing.
I think that probably they encounter a few people who are wielding some sort of like electro staffs or electro poles like we see, you know, the Mandalores.
Yeah, it's like it's
certainly
still a
have
violent
sort of,
world, whether they're fighting other
But I think they're also just, like, that's one of the great parts of the prequel story, that the Jedi are just really stuck in their ways. And I think, like, well, those Sith could come back any one of these centuries now.
Never know.
So we are going to practice.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the cool things about Phantom Menace. That's the first time they fought a Sith in millennia. Mm-hmm. But I think my answer to the actual question is they practice because they're uptight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it also showed that it was the first time they'd fought one in a millennia because one of them died.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And then Obi-Wan was like, okay, I'm going to step up my game.
Yeah.
Yeah. The final question here in the Mind Probe. Thanks for all these great questions. We asked for questions that are a combination of serious and ridiculous, and you guys really, really came through on that, so thank you. This one is from Bertrand Chaline. If Star Wars was released today in 2015, who would you have cast as Luke, Han, and Leia?
Ooh.
Yeah. That's difficult.
That's a good... Yeah. For Han, I would think someone like Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, wow. That's a good choice.
Yeah, he would be good. For Leia, the first name that's coming to my mind, and it seems to fit, is Juno Temple.
Interesting.
Luke is a really tough
Luke
one
for is
me.
By far the hardest, I think.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. That's a really, really tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did something great with the new big three, I guess you would call them, mm-hmm. for Rafin and Poe, where they picked people who've worked, but nobody who's really worked on such a huge scale.
Right. We already have an identity mapped on them.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can't name anybody, because if I did, then I would know who they were, and then I would picture that person as that character as opposed to Luke, Han, and Leia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a similar way that these three were cast.
So – Yeah, that's true. So yeah, the answer could be three unknowns.
Yeah, no, it's a cop out. But I think if we do pick anybody to it, it's like, oh well.
Well, yeah, a lot of people have been saying like Han would be that Chris Pratt would be great as Han. I can see Chris Pratt. I think like Chris Pratt and Timothy Oliphant.
If we could combine them,
they would be the perfect Han because Timothy Oliphant is a little dark, a little edgy. He almost always plays. Yeah. Characters with maybe a little bit more darkness than Han.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt is a little bit lighter, but they both have that charisma and bravado.
I could see Timothy Oliphant in the Lego movie.
You know who might be good? The kid for – this is for Luke. The kid – I forget the character's name, but the sheriff's son on The Walking Dead.
Oh. Carl?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that, like, yeah.
I really think he might –
Yeah,
he might be able to pull it off.
Yeah,
you know?
For Leia, I would go Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black in a second. She is, and I really hope that she gets a role. I know she's up. She was up for something in Rogue One. She's up for something in Episode 8. I mm-hmm. really hope she gets it because I think she's just a phenomenal actor.
Who do you cast for 3PO?
Boy, that is extra challenging. I would say it worked before. Get a fussy British stage actor.
Yeah.
Because that's who 3PO is. The 3PO just kind of became Anthony Daniels, and he was a stage actor who liked things a certain way. He's very, you know, specific and fussy. Mm-hmm. I'd say any old fussy actor.
The only guy I can think of right now is David Hyde Pierce from Frasier. The guy who played Niles.
I think Luke is really, really hard because, Mark Hamill is amazing.
Innocent farm boy quality. Purity.
He is one, especially coming out of the late 70s, early 80s, to be a hero who is not bulging with muscles.
That's what I was going to say.
Super sensitive, but not like a dork.
He almost fits more modern film ideas of a hero.
Yeah, I'm totally spacing on the actor's name. The son in Arrested Development and Juno.
Michael Cera.
Michael Cera. Yeah. Yeah, so Michael Cera, like, he's close to the Luke type, but much too comic.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to find somebody who has, like, that I'm soft-spoken and kind.
Yeah.
But still heroic.
I would say the guy who played Quicksilver in Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got a little bit, but he's more slim than anything. But he's got a real, especially from Kick-Ass, he's got a really good sort of personable.
And it'd be really cool if he let himself be billed that way.
Yeah.
The guy who played Quicksilver in Age of Ultron as Luke Skywalker.
We're good with names.
Yeah, so that's pretty much your answer. I think we're going to go with Tatiana Maslany, Timothy Oliphant, and the guy who played Quicksilver in Age of Ultron.
Nailed it!
Perfect. And we are going to go on to our final segment, Duel of the Fates. And we get our dancing music.
At some point.
In theory.
Yeah, we gotta wrap this one up pretty quick. So let's hit it.
There we go. To sum it up, power. I have no doubt that this is the favorite part of the show for people who listen on iTunes.
100%.
Last week's question is, who would win in a fight, Grand Moff Tarkin or Admiral Akbar? And there's a lot of heated debate. People who've read the Tarkin novel really believe that Tarkin had the experience and the training, but Akbar won by a lot.
He did.
A couple of shout-outs to your reasoning on the Facebook page. William Dack said, Tarkin wins hands down. He lures him, Akbar, onto a barbecue grill, and before Akbar can realize that it's a trap, Tarkin cooks him and has a nice fish fillet. Another shout out to Mark Cameron, who said, all it would take for Admiral Akbar is to headbutt Grand Moff Tarkin with his giant head, one and done. This episode has been all about the power of headbutting.
Seriously. So for this week's question, we're keeping it pretty simple. If you could be trained by any Jedi, who would you want training you? Is that something we're going to answer now, or are we going to wait until next week?
Well, let's each throw out a quick round-robin answer, and then we'll put this up on our Facebook page and get you guys' votes out there, fans of Jedi Alliance.
Mr. Mike Black.
If I had to pick anybody to actually train me in combat and stuff, it would be Palpatine. Because he took on a lot of Jedi.
that corkscrew stab that he has. Yeah,
okay, so you would go fully away from Jedi and I want to be a Sith.
No, I'm just saying combat-wise, like, if I want to live through episodes 8, 9, or 10 or whatever, that's who I'd want training me.
Okay.
You know?
I would say it's a tie for me. I would either say Master Ahsoka Tano because she got trained by kind of an ambivalent middle of the line Jedi, so she got trained a little bit looser.
Yeah,
or Qui-Gon Jinn, to be honest, because they're both kind of general and not necessarily general. They have an expanded view of the Force,
absolutely,
and that's the type of thing that I'm into.
I got a split vote too. I think just for staying alive, I would vote for Mace Windu. Because he could train you not only how to cut people's heads off, but then give them their decapitated head a glare. Like, before the light goes out of your decapitated eyes, I want you to know I did this.
Remember me. Witness me.
Yeah, witness me. But my main vote would be Luke Skywalker, because I want him to not have given up on the Force.
Yeah.
I want him to keep training. I want to have been one of the first Jedi that he trained.
And I just want to do that sweet corkscrew move of death.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's make a little video of that. I want a video of you walking up to Palpatine and saying, "Can you teach me to do that sweet corkscrew?"
Pay attention. Do it.
You can learn the corkscrew, but not from a Jedi.
The corkscrew is unnatural. All right, so Mike Black, plug where people can find you on the internet.
At Mike Black Attack for pretty much everything. Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff.
You can follow me at Soapbox Mark for everything. Joseph and I are doing a watch-along with Mr. John Rocha on Wednesday. I forgot the day for a second. Wednesday at 3, we're doing episode 2, Attack of the Clones. Make sure to be there live. We're going to be having some fun and some adult beverages.
Yeah, it'll be great. And I am Joseph Scrimshaw. You can find me all over the internet at Joseph Scrimshaw. My website is josephscrimshaw.com. If you want to check out other things I talk about, I have another podcast called Obsessed that's on the Feral Audio Network. So check that out. Thank you for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. Catch the Jedi Alliance on iTunes and please rate and review. You can also visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes. My adult beverage is catching up with me of Jedi Alliance and links to both iTunes and YouTube. Please also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all the US-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.